The reading for this morning is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 45. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Amen.
One can easily be in a story and not understand it, someone has said. One can easily be in a story and not understand it. Sometimes we can be in that position. We are in a situation, we're in a story, and we're not quite sure what's going on. What is quite clear is that in this story, Mary could never forget the moment. Later on in the Gospel of Luke 2:19, we're told that Mary treasured these things, kept them in her heart. And as we saw last week, Luke was recording eyewitness accounts of those who'd experienced these events, and we assume that Luke heard these stories from, including others, Mary. So she's in this story. She's not quite sure of all the implications of it. Maybe we've been in that situation too. A storyline where maybe we're being challenged, our faith is being stretched. We wonder what's going on. We know, we remember everything about what's going on, but we're not quite sure of its significance and what we should do. Mary has a visit from an angel. Now, Mary, quite likely, not much older than mid to late teens, a young, inexperienced woman in an obscure part of Israel. In fact, the name Nazareth has to be defined. Nazareth in Galilee, just to make plain where it is, an obscure place. She was not perhaps used to things that were much different, much disruption to her normal course of living. an angel comes to visit Mary. And of course, at this time of the year, we read these stories as if angels appear in our front room every day. Of course, the wonder of the story is that they don't. They don't visibly appear in our front room every day. In fact, we look at the record of the scriptures, and angelic visits are few and far between. There are those moments when God wants to say something or do something that's a little bit of a turning point in human history, as here. Now, the words that come to Mary are, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured." Now, Mary had been taught her Bible, and if you know your Bible, you know that those sound very much like the words that were spoken to Gideon in Judges 6. Gideon, who was hiding in a storage area for grain at a time when his country was being besieged by another country. He was afraid. He was hiding. And yet God was coming to him and saying, "I've got a job for you, Gideon. I've got a job for you to actually stand off against these enemies from which you're hiding." There's kind of an irony in that, isn't there? Gideon, you're hiding from the enemy. I'm with you. I've got a job for you. And of course, Mary would have been aware that these words, greetings, you are highly favoured by God, grace is with you, was actually like someone coming up to you and saying, "Oh, I'm glad that I've seen you. I was meaning to ask you to do." The angel is coming and saying, "I'm glad I've seen you, Mary, because there is a task for you to perform." Now, you can imagine being a little nervous. And can you imagine the thoughts of Mary? What was going to happen? What was the job that God had in mind for her? Of course, the great situation vacant in Israeli society in the first century was the job of mother of the Messiah. Everyone, like every small boy, wanted to be, you know, the captain of England playing football or cricket. Every young woman growing up in Israel in the first century wanted to give birth to Messiah. That was the great situation's vacant. What's going on here? What's going on here for Mary? The angel recognizes the nervousness. And I recognize this too. I'm a pastor. Sometimes if I'm asking people to do something, I see that kind of trapped in the headlights look in their eyes, looking for an exit, looking maybe for the ground to open below them. So I kind of know. I know the look. Do not be afraid. We hear that again and again, don't we, in the Christmas story? Because there is something terrifying about encountering God. We sometimes emphasize how reassuring it is to know God, but also it can be very terrifying to encounter God. Do not be afraid. Now, there is something unusual here, because in the Old Testament, when there were announcements of a special birth, the announcements came, by and large, to the fathers. But here we have an announcement of a birth to the one who is going to be the mother. Of course, it's very important, because Mary is one of a category of one as those who have given birth to children, because she is a virgin, which we'll see in a moment. Is a problem for Mary. How can this be, since I am a virgin? Virginity was really important in the first century. Demonstrating it in order to be an appropriate bride for a new husband was really important. And Mary, she understands. Sometimes we assume that the 21st century, we're scientifically attuned, the first century, that people didn't know where babies came from, but Mary knew where babies came from. And she knew that this was completely unusual. This wasn't the normal way that babies were born. How can it be? Now, when there's a question, we need to have revelation. And the revelation to Mary, the angel, answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." We sang about the holy overshadowing. That the language comes from the Old Testament first, the overshadowing of the cloud that was the protecting, guiding force, or the symbol of the protecting, guiding force of God's people in the Old Testament. When the people had their place of worship in the temple and the tabernacle before it, there was the symbolic Shekinah glory, the overshadowing cloud of glory over the holy place. And here we have the Word of God, the Word become flesh, tabernacling amongst us. And we have seen his glory coming from the Father, full of grace and truth, as John writes in John's Gospel. Just as God overshadowed the holy place in the Old Testament, now God is overshadowing the womb of Mary, overshadowing the one who is God in flesh, coming to us to be our Redeemer. You know, we need to see how big this announcement is. Luke is showing us that in Mary, a whole new creation is taking place. And the attentive reader of Luke's Gospel will see that whereas Matthew, when he gives his genealogy of Jesus, goes back to Abraham, telling the story of God in revealing himself to the Hebrew people, Luke, in chapter 3, with the genealogy, takes us all the way back to the son of Adam. Because Jesus, the one who is to be born of Mary, is the second man. He is the real man. He's beginning a completely new creation. A brand new community, a brand new group of people. He is holy. He is called Son of God. He is called Jesus. In Luke chapter 3, at the end of it, we're told that Adam was the Son of God. He'd been made by God. And Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He is uncreated. And he has been born to start a whole new creation, a whole new world, a whole new opportunity for people to relate to God. Now, that stretches our imaginations to the limit. God working in the world. God working amongst human beings. God working in the womb of this young woman, Mary. We need a faithful imagination to imagine all that God might do for us in Jesus. And Mary needed to have an imagination. This is possible. And of course, it's possible because God has worked in the past. He's revealed his track record. So the angel gives a sign. The sign that I want to give you is that Elizabeth, your relative, there in verse 36, is going to have a child in her old age, and she has said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. A barren woman can give birth. A virgin can conceive. The Lord God can enter into human history. From a cold tomb, there can be a resurrection. The Holy Spirit can empower 12 ordinary men to evangelize the world. You see, here we have a promise that is opening up the possibility that God is doing something of massive potential in the world. And of course, the old promise, the ancient promise that comes from the Old Testament, from Genesis chapter 18, for nothing is impossible with God. You see, Christianity does not say that God is in a habit of delivering children to virgin women, or that dead people rise from the dead, but that God has worked in specific ways, in specific people at particular times. For Mary, something astonishing was happening, for nothing is impossible with God. Mary had a baby in her, a baby who would be unique, and therefore all the modus operandi of his arrival was unique. Virgin birth, or virgin conception, to be more accurate. Perfect life and a resurrected life, because everything about Jesus is unique. That's what's being set up here. It's a birth that's laden with potential. So the great situation vacant. Will you be the mother of Messiah? Suddenly, Mary's offered the job. And Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said. May it be to me according to your word." Now this is the model, isn't it, of biblical response. God speaks and we say, "I'm listening." God speaks and we say, "I want to respond." I think Richard said it a number of times. I've said it probably a few times too, that one of the things that is very impressive in going to Africa is how with very few resources, there is astonishing spiritual openness and growth. And the conclusion that I've come to is that it's not great resources that change the church and change a nation, i.e. great human resources. It is great using of the resources that we've been given. If God speaks a word to us, and we kind of think with the scale of the endeavor of God coming to the world, this is a very brief encounter. It is someone grasping what God has said and then saying, "I'm listening. I believe it, and I'm willing to act upon it." What a remarkable thing this is. "I am the Lord's servant." She believes in the promise of God. Now, there's something about that word servant or slave that is very striking. It's submissive, it's humble, it's believing. You see, when we don't listen to God's word, it indicates that we're proud, we know better. The only reason we don't listen is because we are listening to our own voice. Humility is not thinking of ourselves as nobody, but it is thinking less of ourselves and more of God and what he can do. Mary doesn't ask for proof. She doesn't ask for any particular token, although God gives her a token. He gives her the token of Elizabeth, her relative, who is pregnant after being barren, now 6 months pregnant. And there is this lovely incident of where Mary goes to visit. Mary, now pregnant, with the one who is to become the Son of God on earth, goes to visit Elizabeth, who is 6 months pregnant, with John the Baptist, the earthly cousin of Jesus. And these are the words that are spoken as Mary arrives. Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." What a scary word it must have been to hear from the angel, which is why the angel says, "Do not be afraid." But she is reassured, and here she is, comparing bumps, hearing stories about stretch marks and the potential of swollen ankles, all mixed up with the wonderful potential of what these two boys might bring to the world. And what do you make of that word, that when you came into my presence, the baby in me leaped in the womb, and Luke says the Holy Spirit working on the baby, the embryo in the womb. The first prophetic statement, the first preparation of the Lord by John the Baptist. Jump, jump, prepare the way for the Lord. That's quite a preacher, isn't it? Have you seen a baby kick and jump in the womb? They can be pretty lively, can't they? They make their presence noticed. And that's what witnesses do. It's also been said that this little visit by Mary to Elizabeth was in embryo form the start of the Church of Jesus Christ. It was the gathering together of two people who had believed that God was on the move. Two people who believed that God was unfolding his plan. And it's a reminder that God delights to gather people together and to build his church. And he builds the church in order to create fellowship. Suddenly Mary, who's had this astonishingly surprising news that she's going to give birth supernaturally, has a friend who was also giving birth as a result of a supernatural intervention. She has this joy that perhaps it's very difficult to share with anyone. How do you begin talking about that at the bus stop? An angel has appeared to me and I'm going to give birth to the Son of God. And there'd be a silent moment, wouldn't there, if you shared that news? But here's someone that she can share the news with who is on her page. And together they are excited by God and excited by the mission. God is at work. God is at work in a barren woman and a teenage girl to prepare the world for the arrival of the Saviour of the world. What a good thing it is that Elizabeth was there for Mary and Mary was there for Elizabeth. I said last week that one of the benefits of church and this hour or so that we spend together is that we can reinforce one another's faith. We can encourage and we can urge one another on to believe. God has spoken. He speaks through his word. God has spoken to Mary, and with what she hears, she says, yes, count me in. I believe. I'll take the job. What do you do when God speaks to you? In what way, maybe, has God spoken to you today or in the last week or so? In what way is he indicating that he wants you to be his servant, submissive, obedient? In what way do you need to imagine the potential of what he might do in you if you said yes rather than no? There are some people, aren't there, that whenever you ask them anything, they say no. Are you someone who always says no? Always says no. God wants you, like Mary, to say yes. Who can tell what a difference in your world that might make if you did just that? Yes, God, even though this will move me out of my comfort zone, yes. Yes, God, even though I find it difficult to imagine how it's going to play out, yes. Yes, God, even though it's going to prove to be inconvenient, yes. Yes. Yes, God, even though this will impinge upon my personal space, yes. Yes. Mary said yes. Are you saying yes when God speaks to you? Are you excited about God? Let's pray together. Lord God, we come to you and we thank you for this story about Mary. We thank you, Father, for the wonder of it. We thank you that it is both ordinary and extraordinary. Relates a conversation between an angel and a young woman and an older relative. It speaks about the kind of things that a normal everyday experience is, conception and birth, expecting. And yet, in the ordinary, we see such wonder and miracle. But Father God, we thank you that combined with your miracle working, there are people who are willing to say yes. Father God, as you speak to us today, help us to say yes to you in those circumstances where we need to take the costly path and choice, where we need to resist our own comfort and do what pleases you. Help us, we pray, to be there for others, to be the church, and to offer fellowship and joy in our mission, to support people who might be facing great challenges, and to encourage people that they're on track. Father God, help us to say yes to you, that we might be useful to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing in closing.